This is Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Glad to have you along this Thursday afternoon.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. Military veterans are still running into problems when they try to get timely appointments for care, either at the Veterans Administration or through a new alternative option. That was one of the issues raised in a congressional field hearing in Gainesville last week. Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson chairs the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. He joins us now. Senator, welcome.
Good morning, Dennis. Good to be with you.
Now, what we're talking about here is the Veterans Choice Program. It's about a year old, gives vets other places to get care if they run into problems under certain conditions with the VA. Is it possible to just give us a quick thumbnail of how that works?
Well, basically, if a veteran lives more than 40 miles from a VA health care facility or can't get an appointment scheduled within 30 days, they can go to a toll-free number to call the Choice Administrator to arrange an appointment with a Medicare-approved doctor that's closer to them and can take the appointment earlier.
Now, before we get into some of the problems they've been having, let's just take one overall question here. Does this address all the problems that vets have with this time delay issue? Because, you know, some doctors in other places either might not take patients who have trouble paying or they're waiting for reimbursement from the VA. And many have no experience with some of the military-specific injuries and conditions that a lot of these vets have.
Well, the latter is not really a problem because the military-specific injuries, PTSD and TBIs, the mental health area, which we passed the Clay Hunt bill and greatly increased the delivery system and the throughput in terms of mental health. And the AIG's report has been very, very good in terms of VA's work there. Same thing has been true with prosthetics for those who've lost an arm or a limb. But in terms of general health care, primary care, diagnostic care, care for illness or diseases and things of that nature, the number of appointments this year at the VA have increased by 7 million, and this is just through the 8 months of the year, because of the increased number of availability through the private sector doctors in choice. So the good news is that veterans have a choice. The pressure on the VA is it's generated 7 million more appointments in the first eight months of this year, which demonstrates the pressure we've got to meet the demand that we have in the Veterans Administration today.
And Senator Isaacson, as it relates to that demand, the VA has been trying to implement the program for about a year now. So one could ask, is it reasonable to expect everything will run well in that time?
Well, I think given the time they've had to implement it, passed in August of last year, they sent out the notices for Veterans Choice November 1st of last year, so it's been in business about 9 months, and it's increased the demand by 7 million. So from that statistics, it has worked in terms of meeting the demand of veterans' appointments. In terms of prompt pay to the doctors, in terms of doctors being satisfied with the program, in terms of there being the doctors available in rural communities that these guys really need to get, that's still being worked on, and we're still working on that. But, you know, if you don't have problems, you don't have challenges, you don't have opportunities, you don't have anything. So we've got plenty of challenges at the VA.
Let's talk about leadership here. How much confidence do you have in Secretary Bob McDonald?
I have a lot of confidence, and any time the Secretary will give you his home phone number and his cell phone number and will come to your state and do a public hearing about the problems that are being experienced, you know you've got a guy who's ready to face the concerns and the challenges that they have and try to make things better, and Bob McDonald is doing that. I have a lot of confidence in him.
And as for the Atlanta VA, obviously you've taken a particular interest in that and some of the problems they have had. What's your sense of how the director, Leslie Wiggins, is working there?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I received the Inspector General's report yesterday. You know, I ordered an audit of the Atlanta VA at Claremont Road. I'm the one that held the field hearing 3 years ago that led to the dismissal of the previous director of the hospital and ultimately to the hiring of Leslie Wiggins. The AIG's report gave Atlanta VA high marks in every single category and found no discrepancies and no problems.
So where are the problems right now when it comes to the Choice program? You mentioned, and we did too, the reimbursement issue. Where else are veterans running into trouble?
Well, it's primarily, principally, appointments on a timely basis and getting the right type of specialty in rural areas. There are other problems. If you turn on TV almost every day, you can find somebody who's had a problem at the VA. There was a expose yesterday from a disabled veteran in a VA hospital who had a video camera and videoed the front desk in the veteran's ward where there was no doctor, there was no nurse, and there was no attendance, and there was a veteran in need of help. Those are the kind of problems you don't like to see, and Secretary McDonald is doing a good job through the implementation of his accountability program at MyVA to see to it we address those things. So I'm confident we're making headway. We've got a long way to go, but we're working hard to get there.
Senator Isaacson, you know, I know that obviously this is a huge concern for you. What do you want the VA, though, to do about the slow startup to the Choice program, and does it have the funding to do it?
Funding is not a problem. We increased the funding to the VA by $5 billion to implement the Choice program. Funding is not a problem, and it's not an excuse. What we've got to do is implement a massive program that serves 9.5 million veterans of our country and run a system that has 314,000 employees, the second largest agency of the federal government. So we've got our own challenges to meet, but money's not one of them.
And now, Secretary McDonald recently told Congress, though, that the budget problems are so severe that some facilities might have to cut back or even close some services. Does that alarm you, and is that happening now? What can Congress do about it?
Well, that's one place the Secretary and I had some serious concerns because his statements were misleading and, in fact, incorrect. We made a technical change in the law to make that money fungible between categories of funding for medical health care, and there was no shortage and there was no shutdown of any hospital.
And is, in your mind, does that solve the problem? In other words, are we past that now?
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson, chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. One quick follow-up on the military, though, Senator. Two women recently passed ranger training at Fort Benning here in Georgia. They are rangers, but they are not going to be allowed in ranger combat missions. Do you think eventually the women who pass that rigorous training should be allowed to go into those missions if the need arises?
Well, that was the intention of making the training available in the first place, Dennis, but I leave it to the Army and the Ranger School to determine when that time should be for them to be deployed. I think right now we should just celebrate the fact that two American women survived a course that Dennis O'Hare and I could never survive and would represent our country well in battle or in uniform, and I'm proud of what both of them did.
Rose Scott could have made it, though.
You notice I left her out. I'm not going to underestimate any woman.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.
Let's quickly move to Iran here. You have said you will vote against the Iran nuclear deal. Recently, former Georgia Democratic Senator Sam Nunn, who at one time chaired the Armed Services Committee, visited us and spoke in favor of it. He studies nuclear threats now as his job. He said it's hardly a perfect deal, but he said overall it should be supported. Where do you disagree with Senator Nunn specifically?
Well, I agree with him that it's not a perfect deal, and I disagree with him that you should accept an less than perfect deal for the American people. The problem basically with the deal is that the inspection regimen, which we enjoy a good regimen with the Russians on the START treaty, it leans in favor of the Iranians. It's a self-reporting, self-inspecting program that has a 24-day trigger before a problem that needs to be investigated can be investigated by the IAEA. I think there's too much wiggle room for a less than honorable country like Iran to have, and I don't want my children and grandchildren to know that when I had the chance to keep them from getting away with nuclear enriched material and a nuclear weapon, I didn't do it, so that's why I'm not going to support it.
And Senator Isaacson, here, the language that's been used, especially from the president, is that, look, this is a choice between an agreement or war, and you came out recently on Fox News. You said, look, this is not, you disagree with the president, that this is not a choice between the agreement and war.
No, it's a choice between strength or less than courageous activity. I mean, we should not acquiesce to the needs of a nefarious nation like Iran, which has held our own citizens hostage, has Christians in prison today, tortures their own people, and is supplying people like Hezbollah and Hamas in the Middle East. They're not a trustworthy people, and I think if we acquiesce to an agreement that gives them any strength, this gives them $50 billion initially of sequestered funds, ultimately $108 billion of sequestered funds. It lifts the conventional arms embargo the UN has imposed on them so they can get back to shipping arms in the Middle East. It's just not a good deal, and by voting for it, you're not voting for war. You're voting to acquiesce to a very unreliable partner.
But then assume for the moment that, okay, war isn't the alternative. It's not the only thing that could happen if the deal fails. But what is the alternative? I mean, Iran then has no supervision whatsoever, has agreed to nothing, doesn't saying no give them the chance to accelerate their program more than they would have with a deal?
Dennis, the best deals I ever made in 33 years in the real estate business are the deals I walked away from the table from and didn't acquiesce to a deal that wasn't good for me and my client. And that's what we should do with the Iranians. If we walk away from the table, they'll be the first to come back to the table and say, okay, where is it we can find common ground? But to be afraid that it's going to lead to war and just acquiesce to the Iranians is the wrong way to go, and it's not a good justification. And I respectfully disagree with the president.
Senator Isaacson, I want to turn to Secretary Clinton's emails, which obviously have been the source of a lot of conversations. You also recently said that the most egregious thing is not the crime, but the cover-up. In fact, you even likened it to the missing 18 minutes of tape in Watergate.
Well, that's exactly right, but you got to put that statement in context. The question to me was, what did I think? I said, you know, I don't know what's right, and I don't know what's wrong. The FBI will find out. I'm a member of the committee that does inspections and does ethics in the United States Senate. I know you can find out where those emails have gone. You can't ever really erase a server and do away with them. We will find out eventually, and if we find out that, in fact, there was secure or top-secret emails that were transferred and unsecure through a private server, then that would be considered a cover-up of what's really happened. And I referred to what happened with Nixon. You know, Nixon didn't resign because of Watergate. He resigned because he tried to cover up Watergate.
Sure.
And that's the same thing that could happen here, but I don't know the facts yet.
Turning to your own political future here, you have just about every year, maybe every year that I can recall, been at Ebenezer Baptist Church for the Martin Luther King Jr. birthday celebration. Now the pastor of Ebenezer, the Reverend Raphael Warnock, is at least considering a run to challenge you for re-election. Does that surprise you at all? And, you know, in your conversations over the years with Reverend Warnock, had he given any indication he might be looking at politics?
Well, first of all, in answer to the first question, nothing in politics ever surprises me, so you don't get surprised in politics. If you do, you're really not prepared for it. Secondly, there are two things that I can tell you are true. I can control what I do, and I'll be at the King Center on the 20th of January next year for the celebration, as I have for the last 22 years, and I'm proud that I have done that. If Pastor Warnock decides to run, it's his decision. It's not something I can do anything about, and I will welcome him to the race. We'll do everything I can to see to it that I'm reelected to a third term in the United States Senate.
And Senator Isaacson, as we wrap up, you revealed your own battle with Parkinson's disease. Wanted to know how you're doing, sir.
I'm doing great. I did my 2-mile walk this morning, did my 15 minutes of special exercises that I do, take my medicine, and think positive. I've got great doctors, and I'm having a great response to all the advice they've given me.
And real quickly, there was another announcement recently from former President Jimmy Carter about his diagnosis. Have you had a chance to speak with him and your impressions of how he has handled things?
Well, I think everybody realizes his way he has handled it has both been very brave and very courageous and very positive for anybody that suffers from cancer, and he's a great role model to follow. I have not had the chance to talk to him personally. I did send him a personal handwritten note and talk to some of his staff to send my best regards to him. He will be in my prayers, as will Rosalind, and I'm sure that being the brave, hard-working, hard-charging guy that he is, he's got a lot of years left in him.
Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson. Senator, as always, thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it.